Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here again in the house of the Lord, worshiping together. Such a privilege to be able to come and to share with you and just to be here. I hope you've all had a great week. Well, we're continuing today on this series that we started last week that Sarah introduced us to from the book of Haggai. I thought this morning that I would just give you a little recap in case you missed it. So last week we heard about the Jewish people who had been exiled for some more than 50 years, who were finally allowed to return home. And so they returned back, and upon arrival, the people decided that it was more important at that time. It's good when your notes blow away. Now I've totally lost my train of thought. The people decided at that time that it was not the right time to be rebuilding the temple, so instead built themselves these panelled houses while the temple remained in ruins. So God speaks to the prophet Haggai and gives him a message to share with the people. And he says, "Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured." Now, I know very little about building, but it certainly makes sense to me that building a house would be a lot easier and simpler than building a temple. Even if you think about it in terms of your own home and this building that we are in today, which would be easier to build? The people had indeed chosen the easier option at that time, but it was not the right choice. So the prophet Haggai receives this message and it's shared with Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the people. And so the story continues, and in verse 12 of chapter 1 that we've heard from this morning, it says that they obeyed the voice of the Lord and the message that Haggai delivered to them because they knew that it was from God and the people feared God. So very quickly, both the leaders and the people were obedient to what God was saying, and this obedience led them to action. In the scriptures, there's actually not too many other examples where the words of a prophet were acted upon so quickly. Usually the case is that the prophet would speak and the people would question, or they'd procrastinate, or they'd wonder if the message was actually from God. But not in this case. These people, as God referred to them in chapter 1, not only physically returned to the land, but one commentary I read this week said that in this very act, they had actually returned to the Lord because they had shifted their focus from their beautiful palatial homes that they had built and were living in. And they'd moved their focus back to the Almighty God and his temple. And so the Lord declares to them in verse 13 that he is with them, and he says they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. So wouldn't it be great if the story ended there? The people came back to the land. They made the wrong decision in the beginning, but they built themselves these nice houses. They heard the word of the Lord that came through Haggai. They turned their lives around, built the temple, spent the rest of their days worshipping the Almighty God in this beautiful temple. The end, we can go home. No, you can go home if you like, I can't stop you. But the story doesn't end here. The people started to build with such enthusiasm, and they worked for nearly a month, and then it stopped. Well, as I said, building is not my thing, that is, apart from building Lego, but I have a brother-in-law who's a builder. His name is Trent. He's the cousin of Kim, who's here this morning, and although he doesn't actually build anymore, he's more in management. I sent him a text message during the week and said, "Could you send me some photos of a build that your company has worked on about 1 month into construction?" And these are the images that he sent me. I think there's some more. 1 month in with modern machinery, and this is what it looks like. Imagine what 1 month into a biblical times build would have looked like without this type of machinery, with all manual labour. So one can hardly blame them that they started so enthusiastically and a little while later they gave up. Well, last Thursday, Sarah and I, along with some other officers and business people from around this area, were invited to attend the first Red Shield Appeal meeting for 2021. This was being held in an office in Marsden Street, Parramatta, obviously not too far away. We were instructed to park at Westfield and then to walk over to the office. So I set out from home, such good intentions, on Thursday morning. Dave was taking Josiah to school, put into my GPS. It was going to take me 18 minutes to get there. I thought, I'll allow half an hour, gives me 12 minutes to make a wrong turn, which was inevitably going to happen, and then I could walk to the office. It was going to be no problem at all. So all was going well. I was driving along at 8:08. The traffic was getting a little bit awful and my GPS suddenly jumped from 8:08 up to, I don't know, I think it was like 8:26 or something. I thought, it'll be okay. I'll just walk really quickly. So I kept driving, got to this road where I thought I was supposed to turn, where the GPS was telling me to turn. I couldn't turn there. And I think it could have been because of the light rail construction. I don't even know. And I thought, oh, well, that's okay. I'll keep going. Kept going, did a big loop around. My GPS was now telling me I was going to be 5 minutes late. I called Dave, who was no help at all because he was somewhere near Toongabie Christian College. But I was determined not to be beaten, so I continued on. Next turn, the GPS told me it wanted me to turn down a road which would involve me driving through a fence. So I called Dave yet again, who yet again was of no help at all, except he offered to come and pick me up, but I didn't even know where I was to tell him to come and pick me up. So I thought for a few minutes, what should I do? I was so frustrated. I was getting absolutely nowhere, felt I was just driving around in circles in Parramatta, and I was completely disheartened by the whole experience. So I stopped, typed an email for apologising as to why I was actually not at the meeting, put 426 Church Street into my GPS and drove to the office. Didn't attend the Red Shield meeting, which is not a great look when your husband is the Public Relations Secretary for New South Wales. It's okay though, because Sarah and Major Barry were at the meeting representing Parramatta, and I've just promised that I would go to the next one. But I think I'm going to drive here and walk. But I started so positive, so strong, and I was so enthusiastic. I don't actually mind the Red Shield Appeal, but I had a few setbacks and I was so discouraged that I just quit. It's easy to do. When the people were discouraged, possibly frustrated that their building wasn't progressing as it should, they stopped. But the word of the Lord once again comes through Haggai. And in chapter 2, verse 3, we read, "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?" Haggai was probably just speaking the thought that was actually in the people's hearts. The past was so much better. We're never going to achieve that again. How are we ever going to make this temple look like the temple that it once was? You know, this is very different to what we read last week in chapter 1. Back then, they just seemed to be complacent, content with what they were doing in building their own homes. Now they appear to be a bit more despondent, lacking hope with what they were trying to achieve. They were so discouraged. They were comparing the start of their building with the completed Temple of Solomon. They were discouraged because things were not progressing as they had planned, and they just wanted to give up. You know, throughout history, there are so many stories of people who had to persevere through really challenging days to achieve what they did. Let me share with you just a handful this morning. Here's the first one, Harlan Davis Sanders, later known as Colonel Sanders of KFC fame, apparently submitted his famous fried chicken recipe to 1,009 restaurants before anyone actually became interested in it. What about Malala? Many of you will know this young woman who survived being shot in the head by the Taliban, which was retaliation for her activism for girls' education. She's gone on to become the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, and her voice now, because she has persevered, is stronger than what it ever has been as an activist for the right to education. James Dyson, while developing his vacuum cleaners, which I love, by the way, he went through 5,126 failed prototypes and all his savings over 15 years. But the 5,127th prototype worked, and he's now worth an estimated $4.1 billion. Walt Disney was fired in 1919 from one of his first animation jobs at the Kansas City Star newspaper because his editor felt that he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Michael Jordan, arguably one of the most famous and best basketballers in the world, was reportedly cut or dropped from his high school basketball team when he was a teenager because he wasn't good enough. Theodore Gissell, better known as Dr. Seuss, had his first book rejected by 27 different publishers worldwide. He has now sold over 600 million copies of books. Perseverance in the face of discouragement. But this isn't just what happens to now famous people. It's not just what happens in the scriptures. We all face discouragement. We all face disappointment. At times, we can all become despondent. But this morning, I want to encourage you to persevere. Don't give up. In the next part of this scripture comes a wonderful word from the Lord through Haggai. And in verses 4 and 5 it says, "But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." Be strong. Do the work. I am with you. Do not fear. This was clear direction to the people from God through Haggai. I am with you. Be strong. Don't give up. When you want to quit, when you feel like giving up, please don't. Stay strong, for God is with you. When you're not seeing the results that you had hoped for, that you had planned for, that you believed were what was supposed to be happening, do not fear, because God is with you. Continue to do the work. We have to continue to persevere to what God has called us to do. We must stay consistent to what God is asking of us, both as individuals and as his church. The Apostle Paul knew this too when he wrote to the church in Galatia and he said, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up." This morning, I want to encourage you to persevere. If God has called you to something and you're currently feeling discouraged, keep going. Keep going, because God is with you. if you are facing challenges in life, perhaps with relationships, perhaps with your health, whether that be physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health, don't give up. Don't fear. God is with you. The words that God gave to Haggai for the people all those years ago are still true for us today. He is a God of love, a God of encouragement, a God who journeys with us through every part of life, the ups and downs of life. And my prayer for each one of us is that we will be like these people from Scripture, who received the word of the Lord, who were obedient to what he was asking them to do, and who heard the words, "Be strong, do the work, I am with you, do not fear." Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your scriptures, and we thank you that you are with us through every part of life, the ups and downs of life. We thank you that you give us the strength to carry on. But Lord, we know that at times that can be hard, it can be challenging. But help us to remember that you are always with us, that you give us the strength that we need exactly when we need it, and that we have no reason to fear because you are beside us. Lord, make us a people who persevere through the challenging times, who don't give up. Because as we've already read this morning in your scripture, that if we don't give up, that we will reap the harvest that you have planned for us and for this place. So I pray that you would just continue to help us keep our eyes fixed on you, even through the challenging times, that we would know your presence each and every day. And I pray this in your name. Amen.